This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
From hockey to wrestling, football to golf, no sport left unturned. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. Neil? The boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning and welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I'm your host, Walter Rigabon. As usual with me in studio, my co-host, Naz Marchese. Good morning, Naz. How are you?
Good, Wally. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. And also joining us in studio this morning, former Toronto Maple Leaf, former Washington Capital, Lou Franceschetti. Good morning, Lou. How are you this morning?
Good morning, sir. Did you forget about the Buffalo Sabres?
Did you play with Sabres? How long were you there?
I was there for a couple of years. I got traded from Toronto there to Buffalo.
Okay, so next time I introduce you, I'll remind. And given the fact that we have listeners in Western New York, I'm terribly remiss in overlooking that. So I will make sure next time we'll throw any other teams you played for. The Hershey Bears, you want me to throw that in as well?
You want to throw Binghamton Whalers? You want to throw Baltimore Skipjacks, Port Huron Flags?
Did you coach in the Colonial League or whatever it was called?
I did coach in the Colonial League. But the
anyways, I don't want to make light. Our listeners, Louie and I are good buddies and we tease each other, but I always come back to the final. Lou was a pretty good hockey player and had a good NHL career, and we're proud of your accomplishments, Lou, and I mean that sincerely. Anyways, tomorrow night, it's the Toronto Raptors, Golden State Warriors. We're up 3-1. The city's on edge, Naz. Give us your thoughts.
It's over tomorrow night, Wally.
I like you. You cut right to the chase, Naz. It's over
as
tomorrow
Tiger
night.
Williams would say they're done like dinner.
Lewis?
I drove by the place downtown last night, and people are getting lined up. So it's going to be a special time in this city. Again, the game has to be played, and I'm not going to count Golden State out, especially if Kevin Durant comes back.
I don't think Kevin Durant's coming back, but certainly I don't want to see a Willis Reed moment in this series. But we've got a lot of Raptor talk this morning, and we want to get right to it. We've got Butch Carter, former Raptors coach. Still don't have Butch. We're still working on getting Butch. We've got Leo Routens on in the middle of the hour. And there is another professional sports league with its championship going on in North America right now. It's called the NHL. Doesn't seem to be getting as much press as it usually does in this area, given the Raptors. And there's a great story going on. Jordan Binnington, a Richmond Hill kid, played with the Vaughan Rangers, played with the Vaughan Kings, came up in the middle of the year. And we're thrilled we're going to be talking to his minor hockey league coach, Mike Valascura, who coached him from the age of 8 to 15. So we'll be chatting about him and the Jordan Binnington story. So without further ado, former Raptors coach, Butch Carter. Good morning. How are you this morning, Butch?
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
We're thrilled. We're nervous. We're anxious. Tomorrow night may be one of the most significant nights in Toronto sporting history. We certainly don't want to jinx the Raptors. We don't want to get ahead of ourselves. We're going up against one of the great champions of in NBA history, and Game 4 is always the toughest one to close out. So we certainly don't like getting ahead of ourselves, Butch. But the Raptors, their performance out in Oakland was superb, especially Game 4. Analyze it for us, Butch. What's going on?
Well, I mean, I think this week will, if it's not tomorrow, sometime this week is, the biggest week in Raptor history for them winning one game. Golden State's task is clearly to win tomorrow to get back to Oakland. The Raptors have been extremely professional in their approach. And I've commented on your show a couple times before about the importance of those four people that they acquired, players, Serge Ibaka, Gasol, Kawhi, Danny Green, that played 7 or 8 years in the Western Conference. And I think that that experience rose right to the top in game 3 and 4. The most important part of game 3 and 4 was the first 5 minutes of the third quarter in game 4, when Kawhi basically came out and drilled the 2 3-point shots. It was the first time the Raptors led the whole game. And Golden State, from a strategy standpoint, is really struggling. They have no answer for the box and one, which is a high school defense. They had Clay in the low post against Kyle Lowry. He was being very successful. And then in the second half, they went away from it. They didn't post him one time. So I'm finding that Golden State, once you punch them very hard, the coaching staff does not know how to strategically punch you back with a counter. And, you know, the Raptors are they're making all their free throws. Kawhi leads in total points and total rebounds in the championship series. He is a dominant force. I say that out of much respect for him, because I believe that Kawhi is still injured, and his ability to mentally lock in and deliver as professional is outstanding. I don't think we've ever seen anything like this before, at least not in the last 25 years.
Butch, does Kevin Durant play tomorrow night?
No, we won't see Kevin Durant. Historically, when you will not put a player on the bench in the NBA or the NFL, that means that their injury is so devastating that they would not be able to get out of the way if someone came that way on the bench and risk further injury. So the fact that they're keeping him in the locker room says to me that his leg injury is so devastating that he would not be able to get out of the way if someone were to run through the bench during the play of action. So I've said this, you know, for the last 10 days, you're not going to see him. The only video we've seen of Kevin Durant is barking at Drake after game 2 in the hallway. So, you know, that's as close as he's going to get to a basketball court, I believe.
We're talking to Butch Carter. Butch, I won't say that I'm shocked about what's going on in this series, but I'd probably use the term surprised, and I'm not sure whether I should be surprised. It seems like the Raptors, as a playoff series has progressed, they've gotten consistently better almost game by game by game. And Friday night's performance is even being described in some of the U.S. media as a transcendent Raptors performance. It's just like it seems like in a lot of these games, there's always a different Raptor that's stepping up. And it's almost, I use the NHL analogy. It's your third, in the NHL, it's your third and fourth liners that win you the Stanley Cup. I never thought basketball was like that. I always thought basketball was the stars win it. LeBron wins it. Kevin wins it. Kareem wins it. Russell wins it. But it almost seems like the Raptors are winning it because they're going deep into their bench. It's Van Vliet, it's Siakam,
Fred and Ibaka have been superb. Ibaka is playing his best basketball since the trade. He is playing like a veteran that has huge playoff experience. He's blocking shots. He's giving the rim protection. He is making open shots. He is rolling hard, catching the basketball. He's being very destructive, because what has happened is that the corners are filled. In other words, Golden State is guarding the three-point shooter in the corner, so there's very little protection on the 1-5 or 1-4 pick and roll at the top of the key. We've seen Toronto repeatedly run that play. And there was no answer. Not only did the roller, the guy who set the screen when he went to the basket, no one touched him, no one contested the shot. The bench play of Fred VanVleet is the stabilizer, because Fred basically has to come and pick up when Danny Green has not played well. We know that Danny Green has not shot well in this series, especially on our home court, And the Raptors have been able to overcome it by the play of Fred. He's been outstanding. And maybe they were right. You know, he was so worried about what was going on with the birth of his son, and it was a relief to him. And he's been a new player. He's earned the right to play in the NBA with his performance. He could play anywhere there. I guarantee there's 10 or 12 teams that take Fred right now. Just an outstanding performance by Fred, supported by Serge Ibaka. And they're playing well, and I think they're playing loose. Golden State has really struggled to score points. Klay Thompson is shooting outstanding, I think 59% behind the three-point line, but they can't get him enough shots. So I think what they're doing, it's surprising everyone. You know, you want something for somebody, and again, you know, we want stuff for our kids, and then when they get close to it, you know, we get a little nervous. And so, yeah, there are going to be a lot of people who don't get any sleep tonight. And it's got nothing to do with the players. You know, our generation has seen opportunities come and go. This, we know, is a huge opportunity, unbelievable opportunity. They have seized the moment. They just got to finish off. And I believe that they will get it done in these three games. Our biggest concern is Golden State winning one game, and then we're in a scenario that Cleveland put Golden State in. But I believe that Golden State is outmanned, and I believe the professionalism that's being shown by Kawhi Leonard is outstanding.
But you're absolutely right. I think the depth on the Toronto Raptor bench, and this is going right from the start of the year when they used to roll 9 or 10 guys, is outworking the Golden State. And without Kevin Durant, they're pretty much depending on Klay Thompson and Curry to do most of the scoring. I've seen even with Draymond Green there giving up a lot of shots at top of the key. But what I want to ask you is, why have the referees put the whistle away in the last two games? I've seen these two games be a little bit more, or even more, a lot more physical than I've seen any other games, and there's a lot of non-calls that they've let go.
Well, you understand that. You know, when you were skating against, you know, the defending Stanley Cup, you know, they always got the benefit of the doubt until you beat them. You know, you just couldn't, you know, you got to go do the extra. The great part about the Raptors is they got Kawhi, and when you need to do the extra, he goes and does it. You know, so It's they're not going to let Golden State lose their crown easily. And I basically think the Kawhi said, you know, we don't care. I'm taking it from you. You got to remember, some of this is personal with Kawhi. That's the team that he got injured with. And, you know, I agree with you. You know, the whistle has changed. But basically, the worst part of the Raptor presentation was the first quarter of game four. They were double-teaming Kyle Lowry and not allowing the ball to come back to him. That's an old trick. It's called a 41 defense, where you take the X1, the defending point guard, and one of your bigs, you trap the point guard, and then the defending point guard X1 doesn't allow the ball to come back, because most coaches aren't used to entering their offense from the second guard position, which would be Danny Green, which we know Danny Green had him shot a free throw. So, you know, he's a catch-and-shoot guy. So once they got that kind of worked out, but again, how they get it worked out, Kawhi went and scored 14 points in the quarter, you know, and saved them. So Kawhi scores 14. They take one basket off the board because of it was deemed to be shot after the clock had expired. And so, you know, they survive. And they've been really good at surviving. They've been better coming out running plays after timeouts, which got them in trouble in game two. So I think it's just a maturation of what's going on. They don't care. And you're absolutely right. When you talk about basketball, when I talk about basketball, it's five offensive players, five defensive players, three officials that you have to overcome, and normally two coaches, the head coach and the assistant that's got the scout. And I think right now that Toronto's overcome the officials through excellent play and making shots. And I think that when they're in the chessboard, they put the other coaching staff in check, and it's just a matter of mate. in moments.
Why are the Golden State Warriors having such a tough time with that 1-5 box that Jack Armstrong is talking about? Like, it's almost like a pick and roll up at the top of the key, that they're more or less leaving the whole key wide open, they still haven't adjusted to it.
Yeah, so think of the problem is you go through practice, you got five guys defending, so if one guy gets beat, somebody's close to. Now you start playing a really good team that's making shots. You got Kawhi Leonard in the right corner facing the basket, or Danny Green in the other corner, and so they can't come off those two because they've been making shots. And those guys are what you would call the tag guys. In other words, if the roller goes, normally they're supposed to go over and tag and stop him. So now you're running an offense where you're basically with three offensive players versus three defensive players. And they're going 1-5 screen. And the other thing they could do if they wanted to change it is go 1-5 and 1-4. And they're coming off, and Golden State's basically confused. They are confused for layups. And that's a pretty poor state. And on top of it, Kerr never called a timeout to get it stopped. So the one time that Stephen Curry was a tag guy, he comes off and leaves Kawhi wide open for a three-pointer. So it's a matter of spacing. It's really the spacing. The spacing has changed because of the effectiveness of the offensive player, which are our three-point shooters in the corner. And that's historically what Golden State has done to people, that you couldn't get them stopped because Steph and Clay were making so many long shots that everyone else were getting layups underneath you. And that's Toronto has been able to slow the pace down, lower the effectiveness, especially of Draymond Green and Iguodala. Both of them are shooting extremely poor from the three-point line and the two-point line. So it's really been a role reversal. And I think the U.S. media has said, this is what they've seen before in a changing of the guard. We hope not to jinx them, but this will be a very sleepless night for a lot of Canadians. And if the Raptors don't win, it's going to be a sleepless week because we will have decided by the time you guys have a show next Sunday.
Okay.
But your assessment of Nick Nurse's performance so far?
Nick is adjusted. He bumped his head, clearly bumped his head, and froze in game two in the third quarter. He allowed an 18-0 run. He called timeouts. The plays coming out of the timeout, they turned the basketball over or got a poor shot. He didn't have a second play called. I think he bumps his head, as young coaches do. He's come back with a very effective in game four. He goes box and one after halftime. So the only way they can correct it is to call timeout, and you want coaches to waste their timeouts. So from, watching him the whole season, I think there are only two bad games that I saw him coach. The first one was when they went to Milwaukee in a regular season. Early in the season, Kawhi wasn't playing. The second one was they came off a Western trip back home. He played some rinky-dink 2-3 zone. Again, it was against Milwaukee. But in the Milwaukee series, he went to a hard double team on Giannis in the low post on the pass. And it blew Milwaukee's mind. They were not the same. They did not know what the counter was. And he got Milwaukee locked up, which, again, when you're 0-2 and come back and win four straight, we talked about it on the show, it's like less than an 8% chance of historically any team doing that, but the Raptors have done it. And right now, they're writing their own destiny. And when you write your own destiny for a whole country, man, that's a powerful thing.
Butch, we're going to let you go. We got to get to break. Listen, thanks so much. I know we'll be in touch this week, and hopefully the Raptors, hopefully we've got our fingers crossed. We don't want to jinx them, but hopefully next Sunday morning we can have a post-celebration show, and we're inviting you early to join us for next Sunday's show. Hopefully we'll be celebrating. Butch, thanks so much.
Thank you. Take care, guys.
Thanks. That's, of course, former Raptors coach Butch Carter. We'll go to break. We'll be right after the break with Leo Routens.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville realised that people may not know how many different kinds of ponzos Pizzaville makes. You can go Italian if you like a sausage. You can go Hawaiian if you like ham and pineapple. And you can go Canadian if you like bacon, beer and hockey. We can build a ponzo that speaks your language, no matter where you are from. Call Pizzaville on your cell phone at #3636 or visit pizzaville.ca.
There's an old saying, entrepreneurship doesn't build character, it reveals character. Entrepreneurs learn to trust a person by trusting people. The law firm Rigabon Carly understands this. They know all about entrepreneurs because they work for them. Every day, they've earned their trust. They know that when it comes to meeting the legal and business needs of entrepreneurs, good enough is not enough. Rigabon Carly, the intelligent choice.
Steel's Paint in Woodbridge, an enormous 20,000 square foot superstore that carries nothing but the best. Superior staff, superior advice, superior selection, superior everything. When you have a really tough job to do, they can knock it down to size. They'll show you how to get it done right, and because they only sell the best of everything, you'll get it done to last. That means superior satisfaction. Steel's Paint, 4190 Steel's Avenue West in Woodbridge, the best.
This is Daryl Sittler for Alta Infinity and Vaughn. I've worked with some pretty great teams over the years, and the staff at Alta ranks among the very best. Expert sales, superior service, and the largest selection of Infinity cars and SUVs in Canada, and the most competitive pricing anywhere. It's no wonder that Alta has been an all-star performer for well over a decade. Visit AltaInfinityWoodbridge.com, or better yet, drop by the No. 7 Auto Mall at the corner of Martin Grove and Highway 7. Experience the difference that makes Alta Infinity the captain's choice.
Are they ever wrong about sports? I can answer that in two words. Impossible. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live from Liberty Village in downtown Toronto on the new AM740 in downtown Toronto, 96.7 FM. On the internet, www.zoomerradio.ca. Raptors, big game tomorrow night. Just to reflect a little bit on the game Friday night, there was something remarkable happened after the game. There were like a whole bunch of Canadian fans, Canadian flags, and people didn't want to leave, and 1,000 people singing "O Canada." It was really a remarkable scene. And you know, it's like Raptors, the Toronto Raptors, in a way that a hockey team can't be Canada's team, because we've got, how many, we had 6 or 7 NHL franchises in Canada, 7. So there's, it's very difficult, for a team to be Canada's team, although the Leafs probably come as close as possible. But certainly, the Raptors are Canada's team. When it comes from a basketball perspective, and they almost took over the Oracle Arena Friday night. It was really a remarkable scene. Lou,
you know what? Well, it's great to see what's going on right now, especially with the Raptors and across the country. What is even better about it? These people in the U.S. have no clue on what's on top of them, and I'm talking about what country's on top of them. And now they're getting a real taste that there is someone living on top of the, what is it, the 46th line? Because if you ask a lot of the Americans down...
49th parallel, I think.
Okay, 49th parallel.
I know, if you ask my math may not be as good as it was. I think it's the 49th
what
parallel.
What is the pike there?
If you ask some people down in the lower south, they have no clue what Canada is all about, or they think that we all live in igloos up here, and it's given them a nice taste.
I think that's a stereotype.
It could be a myth, but I'm just telling you. They're starting to get to realize that we are someone that's, you know, they have to take viable accounts into.
A thousand people going to the game in Oakland. That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the most obvious one was Nav Badia, a Raptor superfan. It'd be interesting to know how many of those people traveled from Toronto to the game, or they're just what they call expat Canadians, just Canadians who are living and working.
Yeah, it could be a combination of
two. Living. I mean, there's a lot of Canadians working in Silicon Valley, which is pretty close to there, San Francisco.
And tickets aren't cheap there either.
Well, I'm sure they probably aren't cheap. So certainly that was a remarkable scene, and they're there with Canadian flags, and they're singing "O Canada." And, you've got all the Jurassic Parks all over Canada. The Raptors literally they've taken over the country, haven't they?
Well, it comes down to that could be the last game that's ever played in Oracle Arena. So there's an incentive.
Well, the point you're making is that they're moving to San Francisco next year.
That's the whole thing.
And if the Raptors close it out tomorrow night, that was the last game there.
That was the last game, and it would give them a feeling, listen, we won game four in a building that's not going to be around anymore. You look at the remarkable attendance that we get at Seattle baseball games when the Jays go to Seattle.
All the BC people.
Yeah, all the BC people.
Go down.
Or all Western Canada people.
Apparently, down in Minnesota, you get a lot of Canadians as well. And interesting part: the Green Bay Packers are going to be having a preseason game in Winnipeg this year.
So
there, there's cross border traffic there as well.
Yep.
So certainly, I was. Are you guys at all surprised? Naz, I'll turn it over to you. We were here. We've been chatting Raptors all season long, and it's. And I don't want to give the inflection that we're getting ahead of ourselves but let's just say that they've achieved something. Quite frankly, I'm not so sure I would have expected or predicted that they would have achieved win or lose from this point on. And we're certainly hoping for a win, and we're pretty close, but you got to get game four. We can't forget that. Are you surprised at all, Ness?
What I'm surprised is the reaction of the fans across Canada. I didn't think it would be that strong, and it's strong. I thought hockey would be dominant, but basketball's really strong, and I'm surprised, really surprised.
Lou?
Well, you're looking at almost every city now, or big city across Canada, and they're having all their small little mini Jurassic Parks, and we're not talking 5,000 or 6,000 people. We're talking in excess of 15,000 to 20,000 people or more. You look at what we're having up in Mississauga and Brampton now. You might as well fill if they would have played that game at the Rogers Centre. I bet you they would have filled.
No question.
They could have 60,000 or 70,000 people in there.
Absolutely.
Right. So it's just amazing how the Raptors have more or less have turned into Canada's team, and the other teams right now, especially with hockey, they have to take a little bit of a back seat to it and jump on the ride and enjoy it.
Yeah, we haven't focused. Doesn't seem, the Raptors have been such a big part of the Toronto story, Toronto media stories in the last 2, 3, 4 weeks, especially since the Leafs lost out to the Bruins. We almost forget that we're in the middle of the Stanley Cup Finals. We're in the middle of the Stanley Cup Finals. In fact, tonight the Stanley Cup could be awarded, and it could be awarded in St. Louis, which brings us to our next guest. And there's a remarkable story that's transpired with the St. Louis Blues. Naz, I remember being in studio with you here in early January. Mm-hmm. And we were speculating about whether Alex Pietrangelo was going to become a Toronto Maple Leaf. We actually had that discussion on a show. And looking back on it now, and I'm thinking to myself, how silly were we? I mean, we're talking, they were legitimately talking about Alex Pietrangelo coming to Toronto. They were going to break up the St. Louis Blues.
They were dead last, Wally.
Were dead last. And then they brought up this kid. This Toronto kid from Richmond Hill, played with the Vaughan Rangers, played with the Vaughan Kings, and that's a good segue into introducing our next guest. We're thrilled to have with us this morning a gentleman by the name of Michael Valascuro, who coached Jordan Binnington from the age of 8 to the age of 15. Michael was interviewed in NHL.com. Michael Valascuro, our next guest, was interviewed in NHL.com this week by Mike Zeisberger, and asked his thoughts about Jordan Binnington, and I thought it would be appropriate, also given the fact that Michael's a good friend of ours, I thought it would be appropriate that we talk to Michael Vallescuro this morning about Jordan Binnington. Michael, good morning. How are you this morning?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
It's my pleasure. You've become a celebrity in the hockey world over the course of the last few days. You got your own sort of story in NHL.com, but the story is Jordan Binnington Mike, and you had the privilege of coaching Jordan from the age of 8 to the age of 15. Vaughan Rangers also happens to be an organization that I spent some time with my son in a few years ago, coaching in that organization. You also coached with the Vaughan Kings, and you had Jordan as your goalie. But tell us, there's an interesting story about the first time you ever saw Jordan Binnington and how he got on your team. Tell us that story.
Yes, I was 8 years old. I was coaching Vaughan Rangers, and we were approaching tryouts, and we needed a goalie. So, you know, you put the word out, and a gentleman called me and said that he was playing on a 3-on-3 team, his son, and the goalie never showed up. So they needed a goalie, and one of the forwards decided, I want to go in net. So he went in net, and this guy called me. And he said, hey, Mike, you want to take a look at this kid? I know you're looking for a goalie. He gave me his number. I talked to the father, John, and I told him, we're looking for a goalie. I understand your son played a net in the 3-on-3 league, and he looked pretty good. He goes, and the father was really reluctant to let him play net. So he wanted him first to learn how to skate. But he brought him to the tryout. He brought him to the tryouts, and there was a bunch of goalies there. But he kind of stood out from the rest of them. And the interesting thing is we were coming in, warming up the goalies, and he took one right off the mask. And he didn't even flinch. So I went to the father, and I think I think he's good to go. and the father decided, okay, we'll go for it. And you know what? The rest is history.
Mike, are you surprised he's made the NHL since you coached him those years? Did he have it in him?
You know what, Jordan, when he was around 12 years old, 13, he was special. He was probably the top goalie in the age group, right? And, you know, but once they reach pro, who knows what's going to happen. You have to be in the right situation, right timing, right coach, right team. And it just took him, he took the longer route, right? And he found the right situation, and he took advantage of his opportunity. He got one opportunity, and he's running with it.
Mike, this is Lou Franceschetti.
Yeah.
Does he still remember you? And are you going to get a one day or a couple hours with the Stanley Cup once with if and when they win the?
There's still one game to go. Yeah, we text after every series. I'll text him, and I followed him right to junior. It's ironic when he got drafted by Owen Sound. There were similarities to the story that's happening now. It was in his second year in Owen Sound, and their number one goalie got hurt going into the playoffs. And then they went to Jordan, and he was just a second year goalie. And he ended up winning the OHL championship. The same thing, took advantage of the opportunity and made the most of it. And yeah, we're good friends with his mom and his dad, his stepmom and his dad, John. We became very good friends, and, you know, I kind of leave him alone, you know. He went, I'll definitely be in contact with him.
Are you still here? You're not in St. Louis right now?
No, you know what? It's ironic you asked that, Wally. Yesterday, one of our parents that was on that team for the 8 years, he called me and he said, you want to go down? And I said, nah, I don't want to bug Jordan. And, you know, he's got a lot on his plate. He needs to find his tickets. We'll leave well enough alone.
Anyways, we're talking to Mike Vallescuro, and we're talking about the Jordan Binnington story. The Stanley Cup could very well be awarded tonight in St. Louis, and it's remarkable. The Jordan Binnington came up in the middle of the year and turned the St. Louis Blues around. And I've got a personal, you know, aside from the fact that everybody on this show sort of hates the Bruins, we want to see the Blues win. I'd love to see St. Louis win. Jordan Binnington. I know he's a Richmond Hill boy, If he brings the cup, I hope he brings it back to his hometown of Richmond Hill, because I live in Richmond Hill, so it may be the first time the cup's ever come to Richmond Hill. So if the Blues win tonight, Mike, I'm going to expect you to arrange an introduction between me and Jordan in the Stanley Cup in Richmond Hill somewhere. So I look forward to that event. I wanted to go back to Jordan. You obviously identified something with him right in the beginning. And goalies... you know, anybody who's played hockey, they sort of, some of them exist within their own little, I don't know if they use the word cocoons. If I say that, I would say that in a positive sense rather than, but goalies have always, they got their little corners in the dressing room, and they sort of look at the game a little bit differently. Describe Jordan in terms of, I think you were quoted as saying nothing phases him. And he's incredibly good at controlling his emotions. Is that what makes him a good goalie? Or yeah, a great Jordan, goalie? Let me rephrase that.
Jordan always, he was always calm. And he never really stuck to himself. You know what? He was part of the team. He used to keep the boys loose in the change room. He was really quick-witted with his one-word answers. But when it was time to go on the ice, he was all business. And, he did all the hockey schools, the goalie camps. I don't think in all those 8 years, I don't think Jordan ever missed a practice or a game. There wasn't a more dedicated, kid that I had than Jordan. And he, and all the kids loved him. All his teammates love him. And I bet you in St. Louis, it's the same way for him. Whether he makes 10 saves or 50 saves, it doesn't matter to him. You know what? As long as the team wins, that's all that Jordan's ever cared about.
Mike, what happened then against this in the San Jose series when he decided to break a stick over the glass? And the video flicks that I've seen with him meeting the other goalies at center ice and dropping them with him, is that part of his DNA too?
He's always competitor. Had that in him. He's always had that inner. That's the competitive in him. And he's learned to control it. When he was a lot younger, you would see a lot more. But now you could see he tries to control it. But that's that fire that he has inside him, right? That people look at the outside and they see all this calm and all that. But trust me, Jordan is very, very, very competitive.
Mike, from a technical point of view, and the Jordan Binnington story is an interesting one. In every generation, it almost seems like this reminds me of the Ken Dryden story. You know, you got rookies coming in out of nowhere and winning Stanley Cups, and I'm just crossing my fingers when I do that. I'm not trying to jinx the St. Louis Blues by any means. From a technical point of view, what makes him a great goalie?
He reads the game. If you see him, right, the way he uses his stick, he's got a bit of everything. He's got technical aspects, but he reads the game very well. He's got a little bit of old fashioned. He uses the poke check. If you noticed, he does that a lot. I think his biggest attribute is that he reads the game very well. He seems to know where the puck's going to go and where the shots are going to come from. And he's always had that. You know what? Every time in practice, I say, Jordan, we're warming up. I need you in net, because he was always fooling around with the puck. Right. And if you see, he's very good with it. Right. I think that's his biggest attribute. It's how he reads the game. But a lot of people tend to forget. He was on the world junior team for Canada too. You know, like Jordan was, everybody knew of him. Right. He just did it the long way. That's all.
Mike, you're a AAA coach. Question. How did you feel as a coach coaching a kid like that?
You know what, this makes everybody proud. You know what, because you've seen him since he was 8 years old, and you've seen the work that he put in, and the struggles, and the highs, the lows, and you know what, when you've seen him as just a little kid in net having fun with his teammates, and it's very surreal. It's a great story. Even one of your callers that calls in all the time, the general, he was on my coaching staff. He knows Jordan really well too.
Got to get a plug in for the general.
Yeah. He was on our staff at Minor Bantam. I brought him on board and he got to know Jordan a bit too. And, So we're kidding around with him because he's a big Bruin fan.
Yeah. So, that's right. Talking about Jordan and his struggles, there's a really interesting article in today's Toronto Sun by a friend of the show, Michael Trakos. He did a full page spread on Jordan Binnington. And the point that Michael was making was, talent can only take you so far. And Jordan, a couple of years back, committed himself to working with Matt Nichol, who, former conditioning coach for the Leafs, who is a part of a BioSteel conditioning camp. A lot of NHLers, young NHLers, have taken advantage of Mike Nichol's expertise. And Jordan, a couple of years back, went down there and, had to work hard, had to take care of his body, had to be careful what he was eating and all of that, and made that commitment. And it shows you hard work. Talent takes you a certain part, Lou, and I'd like you to comment on this. Talent takes you so far, but then heart and drive and passion and commitment, you need that, don't you, Lou?
You really do, and everything's on the surface sometimes. When you see a player go on the ice and he's got all these moves, he's a great skater, but what really separates him from being a superstar is what's inside. If you haven't got the drive, if you haven't got the will to... And what I find is the discipline is more than anything, because I've had friends that come up to me and tell me that they were as good as me and were better than me. And I said, I understand. But they always told me that I had the discipline to put friends and the outside people aside and have a focal point of getting, of making it to where you want to go. And friends have told me, says, listen, you just left me alone. I didn't know who you were because I wanted a focus. I wanted to make the National Hockey League when I was a young kid. Well, not a young kid, but I was 18, 19 years old. And I put all the other distractions aside. If you haven't got the discipline to do that, you might have a few guys that might lead you astray. And if you don't take care of your body, if you don't take care of your sleeping habits, and if you don't take care of your diet, you're not going to go anywhere. It doesn't really matter how good you are. And there's a few hockey players out there that have more or less let themselves go because of that.
Anyways, we'll leave it at that. Mike, we've been chatting with Mike Valascuro, coach of Jordan Binnington from the age of 8 to 15 in the Vaughan Rangers and the Vaughan Kings organization. Mike, I want to thank you so much, and I know you're going to be glued to your TV set tonight. And let's bring the cup to Richmond Hill, please.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Mike Valascuro. We're going to go to break, and I understand we may have an opportunity to speak to Leo Routens when we come back from break.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville announced their loyalty program, but some listeners thought I was saying royalty program. To be clear, Pizzaville cannot get you into the royal family.
Stop that.
However, after your sixth online order, you'll get a large pizza of your choice free with your seventh order, and that'll make you feel like a king or queen. Oh, boy. Find out more at pizzaville.ca.
At Titanium Logistics, we believe that choosing the right shipping company comes down to two issues, price and cost. Most prices are competitive, will likely save you money too, but the cost of choosing the wrong company to service your cross-border freight to and from the U.S. and Mexico can be extraordinary. If it's not where it should be, when it should be, that bargain price, worthless. Titanium Logistics, on time, on budget. Call 905-266-3014. Ask for Blair Downey.
At 20,000 square feet, Steeles Paint in Woodbridge is Canada's largest independent paint store. Big deal, right? Big deal, yes. The best brands, the best staff, the best advice, the best of everything. From color matching to brand selection, whether you're a pro or a DIYer, we'll look after you from the minute you walk in to the minute you walk in a second time as a completely satisfied customer. Big store, big deal, bigger satisfaction. Simple. Steeles Paint, 4190 Steeles Avenue West in Woodbridge.
This is Daryl Sittler for Alta Infinity in Vaughan. I've worked with some pretty great teams over the years, and the staff at Alta ranks among the very best. Expert sales, superior service, and the largest selection of Infinity cars and SUVs in Canada, and the most competitive pricing anywhere. It's no wonder that Alta has been an all-star performer for well over a decade. Visit AltaInfinityWoodbridge.com, or better yet, drop by the No. 7 Auto Mall at the corner of Martin Grove and Highway 7. Experience the difference that makes Alta Infinity the captain's choice.
They never argue sports. They just explain while they're always correct. The boys are back. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I'm your host, Walter Rigabon. As usual with me in studio, my co-host, Naz Marchese. Also joining us today, Lou Franceschetti. And we're pleased to be chatting right now with us on the line, Raptors analyst Leo Routens. Good morning, Leo. How are you this morning?
I'm great. How's everybody over there today?
We're excited, Leo. I got to tell you, we want to thank you right off the bat. I know you're back and forth across the continent. You're probably fairly jet lagged. So we certainly appreciate you taking the time for us this morning. And we'll get right to it, Leo. Are you excited? Let me, from a personal point of view, you've been an integral part of Canadian basketball almost your entire life. You're what they call a Raptors day oneer. Just tell us from a personal point of view, Leo, how excited are you?
Honestly, it's kind of beyond words. To be able to, this is something you dream about, you know, as a player, as a broadcaster, as a coach, as a fan. To be able to be in this situation where you're actually a part of it, to be able to, one thing that, you know, a lot of fans don't realize, in the NBA, all the broadcasters in the NBA, after the first round, they're done. They no longer can broadcast with their teams, because all the network broadcasts pick up. So ESPN and TNT carry it all the way to the finals, and then the finals, ABC picks it up in the U.S. So, because we're another country, it was negotiated that the Canadian broadcast, we can continue all the way through to the finals, which is phenomenal. And we're the envy of all the other teams. So, it's a thrill as a basketball player who grew up in this country. It's a thrill as a part of this to be able to broadcast all the way. And it doesn't get any more exciting than this and to be one game away from potential championship is just mind-boggling.
Leo, we're glad you're still around. What happened with that ceiling fixture coming down or the light?
it was just a weird thing. I was sitting there, and all of a sudden I felt like something grazed my shoulder, and then a big thud. And I had, you know, the game's going on, so, you know, people bump you and all kinds of things happen, so I didn't really pay much attention. Next thing you know, this guy knocks my headsets off from behind. I'm going, what the heck is going on? And I look at the lady next to me, and she's got this shocked look at her face. And then I look down, and this big, huge bulb is on the floor between us, and it came down from the ceiling. And it's just kind of a crazy thing. Obviously, you know, fortunate it didn't put it this way, it came down all the way from the ceiling, and it did not break on the floor. That's how hard whatever this thing was made out of. So I don't think my skull had a chance if it would have hit.
Leo, you were in Oracle Arena Friday night, and there's Jurassic Parks all over Canada. And it's really the most remarkable thing. It's just like there's this pent up desire amongst Torontonians, amongst Canadians to celebrate. And hopefully, and I don't, you know, we're doing our best this morning, trying not to jinx the Raptors. We know that there's still a lot of work to be done. The Golden State Warriors are great champions. We all know they ain't going down without a fight. And this series ain't over until the last whistle. And so we certainly don't want to get ahead of ourselves. But the Jurassic Parks have sprouted across the country. But there's a Jurassic Park inside Oracle Arena, which was truly remarkable. And I want to get your observations. You were there of what happened and your description of and how it felt to hear, you know, a whole bunch of Raptor fans, 1,000, hanging around after the game, singing our national anthem and proudly displaying our flag.
Yeah, it was incredible. I'll tell you what, I've been around this NBA, you know, pretty much my whole adult life, and I've never seen anything like it. And talking to a lot of other people, they've never seen it either. It's almost more, you know, and everybody's been talking about it, that Canada or Toronto has this more of an NCAA mentality. You know, our fans travel well. You know, they're outside at the arena. They're at the arenas at different places. And it was incredible because you don't necessarily realize it during the game because fans are dispersed all over the place. I mean, you do see Raptor jerseys and people outside, they were putting up a pretty good bit of noise outside. But then after the game, as soon as the game was over, the several thousand of them came down by the court near where the Raptors bench was, and they were just all just singing and doing the old Canada and having a great time. And you know what? I said it on the air. I give credit to the security at Oracle. You know, they get people out of the games pretty fast to clear the arena. And they let the fans do it. They let them all get together. They let them have their time, maybe a good 15, 20 minutes. They let them sing, cheer, and everything. Then they, you know, really politely said, okay, guys, it's time to go. And then the fans were very cordial and kind of broke apart and left. But I've never seen anything like it in an NBA arena.
Now we're talking to Leo Routens, Raptors analyst. Leo, why are your estimation from a basketball perspective, what do you see? What are the Raptors doing to dominate this series so far?
Well, I said going in, Golden State has not faced an elite defensive team like the Toronto Raptors in these playoffs. They've shown and then the Raptors had the most difficult path to the finals. You know, they beat a very hot Orlando team. Obviously, the Philadelphia 76ers, everybody said that's the best starting lineup in the NBA. The Milwaukee Bucks had the best record in the NBA, and the Raptors went through everybody, and it was because of their defense. So I was pretty confident that in this matchup with Golden State, that they could win the series simply because their defense is good enough and their offense certainly is there. I mean, you have a lot of weapons at the offensive end, and you arguably have the best player in the game today in Kawhi Leonard. So you put it all together, I thought the Raptors had a really good chance, and now they're showing it.
We've been talking to Leo Routens. Leo, we're bumping up against, you know what live radio's like. Deadlines come pretty quick, and we just want to take the opportunity. Obviously, you've had an incredibly busy week. You're back and forth across the continent, and for you to come on and share your thoughts with us, and it's immeasurably appreciated. Thanks so much, Leo.
Well, I always make time for friends, so I appreciate it. And sorry I couldn't get on earlier,
No.
But it's always a blast.
I'm hopeful we're all going to be able to celebrate a Raptors victory. Tomorrow night would be great at some point in the week, and would love to be able to celebrate next Sunday morning. I got our fingers crossed. Thanks so much, Leo.
All right, have a great day.
Thanks so much, Leo Routens. I wanted to squeeze out a couple of minutes to talk about a topic that you got vehement about before we went on the air, Lou. We've got about 3 minutes left. You've got a pickle with the NHL officials, specifically the Bozak incident that you used the terminology cost the Bruins the game the other night. I'll give you this opportunity to get it off your chest. Go ahead.
Well, it's not. Being a professional athlete, you hate, and we work so hard to
get. Just so that, you know, I should have indicated in that, go back and just explain what happened. Tyler Bozak took out somebody's legs.
He slew-footed Akari.
And which led to a goal.
Which led to a goal.
10 seconds
which
later.
Which more or less changed the whole complex of the game. You're down 1-0 you're down 2-0 instead of 1-0. The Bruins could have gone on the power play. They could have scored a goal. We don't know what the whole scenario would have happened if he did get called. But what, as a professional athlete, we work so hard to get to the pinnacle of the Stanley Cup playoffs or the NBA championships or Major League Baseball and winning the World Series, that we don't like to see the referee dictate what the outcome of a game is. And what I'm finding right now is
he made a bad call.
He made a bad call.
Why do you say he dictated the outcome of the game?
Okay, bad choice of words.
Okay. Sorry, I don't want to split hairs with you. But
you're a lawyer. I'm just a schmuck.
But no, anyways, you know what you are. You played in the NHL, and I didn't, and you constantly remind me about that. So you have the upper hand. Go ahead.
They also in the Ball Hockey Hall of Fame, and you played that too.
But you never played. You know what, Luke? You never played against me. I would have. Defense was my forte. You wouldn't have been able to slip me, buddy.
You want to get onto that topic?
You wouldn't have been able to slip me, buddy. I would have held you in check.
I know you would. You would have brought me down to your side, right? I was the Bob Gainey of the Ball Hockey crew.
Believe me. Go ahead.
Unfortunately, you don't know what I was all about either. Anyways, we don't like to see a referee make a call, and not to to dictate the outcome of a game, but to more or less turn things around. And it's just, you know, we look at the, and these are blatant calls. These aren't calls that are 50-50. This call was right in front of them. There was a call at the end of the first period, which if it wasn't for Krejcik, they would have been down 2-0 there. There was a hand pass that happened in the San Jose game. The Pavelski call is 50-50 call, which, you know, if Vegas, you can't.
That wasn't a 50-50 call. That was blatantly not a five-minute major.
Okay. But again, you don't let a team score four power play goals and change the whole
thing. That call cost Vegas the game.
Right?
Yeah.
So for us, it's really hard because we work our tails off to get to that point, and we let a guy right in front of you make a call.
But let me ask this question, Luke. And I only interrupt because we're really short on time, and I do want your reaction to this. As an NHL hockey player, as a professional athlete, you have to be prepared. You have to be prepared for officials' decisions that don't go your way. That's part of preparation. That's part of mental toughness. You deal with it. You move on. You win the game.
You're right.
Why do you focus? Why, you know, Cam Neely's throwing a conniption up there. As a professional athlete, you have to deal with it. The game, it wasn't the last minute of the game. There was, half a game left.
Unless you're in that spot, we have to, as players, we have to put that aside. And Craig Berube did a great job after game three in the San Jose. Guys, we don't want to talk about it. It's over and done with. They won the game. We just move on to the next. If you're mentally strong, you can actually do that. You can put that thing aside. Guys, let's not talk about the call. We're going on to game six. We got to play it in St. Louis. Boston's a great road team. St. Louis is not a very good home team. Let the cards play out.
Anyways.
The faster and the longer, the shorter you can put that aside, the better off you're going to be.
Got to go. Unfortunately, we're past our deadline. Go Blues. And more importantly than anything, go Raptors.
Adam Hadwin, Canadian.
Hadwin, and we even chance to talk to my passion, golf. Anyways, there may be a Canadian that wins the Canadian Open today. That would be incredible. To all our listeners, it's been another great week. Enjoy your week. Be safe. We'll be back here again next Sunday morning. Thank you.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.